Baruchim Abayim Rabotai, welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. Traditionally, during the weeks between Pesach and Shavuot, our curriculum moves to the Pirkei Avot. However, tonight, since a great secret was revealed to me from the Sfarim HaKedoshim and from the Tzaddikim, so I wanted to take this opportunity to reveal it. Although this afternoon in the ladies' class we did speak about Pirkei Avot, so I fulfilled my obligation at least. And tonight I will digress, a welcome digression to the Parasha. Today we have a double header this week. We're in the second Parasha in Kedushim. Perek Yutet. And we're in Pasuk Chav Gimal. And now there's many mitzvot in this parasha. One of the mitzvot is the mitzvah of Orla. V'chi tavo'u el ha'aretz. It's a law in Eretz Yisrael. Unta'atem kol etz ma'achal. And you'll plant a fruit tree. Kol etz ma'achal. V'alaltem orlato et periyo. So the Rashi explains, V'alaltem orlato et periyo, the fruits are off limits. You're not allowed to eat the fruits of that tree. The word orla over here means satum. It is closed, it is sealed. How long are the fruits forbidden? Shalosh shanim. Yeh lachem arilim lo yachil. So for 3 years, the food is contraband. And then the next pasuk writes, "Ubashana rabi'it yiye kol periyo kodesh elulim lahashem." The fourth year is called neta revai. That's the fruits that grow. And in the fourth year, the pasuk says they are kodesh. So it went from becoming asur bahana'a, isur deoraita, orla, and all of a sudden in year four, it becomes Kodesh. And Rashi says, Kema'asir Sheni. Kema'asir Sheni, it must be eaten within the walls of Jerusalem. So you take those fruits and you have to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And then the Pasuk says, Ubashana Hamishit, which is the fifth year. Tochlu et Periyo, you have no restrictions. Tochlu et Periyo, you're able to eat the fruits wherever you like. V'chule, ani Hashem Elokechem. Okay, it's very hard to understand at surface the reason for this mitzvah. Not that God owes us a reason. You know, if you tell me it's a chok, if you tell me it's one of those laws that you just have to, you know, accept it, that for some reason for 3 years you can't eat the fruit, and the fourth year all of a sudden it turns Kodesh, and then the fifth year do whatever you want. Kacha. Shrei ha'am shekacha lo. Okay, im kabbalah nekabel. If we're forced to accept it, so then we'll accept it. However, there's a midrash over here. The midrash is the key to understanding this subject. Like most subjects, whenever you want to understand something at its root, the root is always going to be Adam HaRishon. Somehow, everything always goes back to Parashat Bereshit, page 1. The Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah, Midrash Rabbah, Chafeh Bet, Darash Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi. Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi said the Darash. Mi yigale afar me'enecha Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon, I wish you were here. Somebody should reveal the dirt from your eyes. I wish you were alive. But shelo yacholta la'amod al tzivuyecha sha'a achat. God gave you a commandment when the day you were born. For a few hours, He told you don't eat from the tree. Ve'lo yacholta la'amod. And you weren't able to refrain. You couldn't hold back. V'are banecha ממתינים לעורלה גימל שנים. Look at your children. Your children, they have more willpower than you. They are able to wait 3 years before they eat the fruits of their tree. You couldn't even wait a few hours. And Am Yisrael waits 3 years before they eat the fruits of their tree. Amar Ravuna, Kachama bar Kapara kach Amar. When Ravuna heard this, Ravuna says, when bar Kapara heard this derash, he said, Yafeh derash Rabbi Yehuda ben Achoti. My nephew, Rabbi Yehuda, said a good derash. Hadahu dechtiv, vechitavo el haares, untartem kol etz ma'achal. He liked it. He said, oh, this is a good derash. And when you read this midrash, kind of shocking. What is Rabbi Yehuda ben Paz? He went from Adam HaRishon. He has nothing better to do than go out of his way to say, oh, you see, you couldn't wait. You couldn't wait. Am Yisrael, we're better than you, Adam HaRishon. You couldn't wait a few hours. We wait 3 years. Ha, ha, ha. Leave him alone. What do you want from Adam HaRishon? He made a sin. He paid his price. We're paying the price. Everybody's suffering because of it. If I was Bar Kapara, I would have said to my nephew, you know, something, lighten up, go easy. You know, Adam HaRishon, Sadiq, Yetzir Kapav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was created by the hand of God. You know, we shouldn't compare ourselves to the Sadiqim. We wait 3 years, he waited, he couldn't wait, not right. Instead, he comes along and he says, oh, Yafeh Darash Rabbi Yehuda ben Achoti. He liked the Darash. He was impressed by it. What is the connection? You see, from that midrash right away you see that when the tzaddikim saw the parasha of Orla and they saw the tree, right away they saw Adam HaRishon. So they jumped to Bereshit. There's a reason why he says, "Ah, mi yigale afar me'enecha Adam HaRishon." But what did they see? There's a al-sheikh. Rabbi Moshe al-Sheikh on this subject, and he says a chiddush. The chiddush is also brought down in the Sefer Panim Me'irot. I had a copy of the Panim Me'irot, but I had left it in my notes at home. He's basing it on this Zohar. The Zohar is in Parashat Pekudeh. ועללתם אורלתו את פריו שלוש שנים יהיה לכם עריים לא יאכל. Why the Zohar says? Begin. Because. וקודשה בריחו חביבותה די ישראל תדיר לגבי. That קודשה בריחו has a love of בני ישראל. And the love is תדיר. It's constant. ורחיק לון מכל אורחין בישין. And God wants us to keep away from all things that are toxic, all things that are poisonous, all things that are dangerous. Mikol orchin bishin, v'sitrin bishin umsa'abin, and things that are bad and that are impure. Le'dabika b'sitra d'kdusha, because God only wants us to attach ourselves to sitra d'kdusha. Zaka'in inun b'haya alma, v'zaka'in inun b'alma d'ate. אשרנו מה טוב חלקנו, אשרנו בעולם הזה, וטוב לנו לעולם הבא. This Zohar over here is telling us that the reason why the fruits are forbidden in the first 3 years is because they have tum'ah. They have what's called over here sitrin bishin, orhin bishin, umsa'abin. All this tum'ah. Now, please do not come to me after the class and say, well, your cousin is a farmer in Israel and it hasn't been scientifically proven. There's no difference between the first 3 years of fruit and the fourth year, and there's no toxic and there's no poison. This Zohar HaKadosh is Ne'eman Alai. If the Zohar HaKadosh is telling me that there's something in the fruit, it's not something that the FDA can monitor on the package. How much mar'in bishin and misa'abin and sitrin bishin. They don't have, that's not part of the list of things. They can only tell you how many calories and how many grams and if there's any saturated fat. They do not have yet a gauge to measure Mar'in Bishin and Sitrin Bishin and Mishavin. We need the Zohar HaKadosh to tell us that. But the Zohar does not tell us where did this Tum'ah come from. Why should it be? Like, mind you, this is in Eretz Yisrael. The land is holy. When we go to Eretz Yisrael, we kiss the ground. And now you tell me the land can produce fruit that is so toxic that the Torah says you can't eat it for 3 years? So the Panim Meirot, he says the following. The land has tum'ah in it, and it needs to be extracted, and it takes 3 years to extract it. Why should the land have tum'ah in it? Because the land was disobedient. The land doesn't listen. The land did not follow instructions. When God created the trees, so God said, It's pity. God said, I want the trees to produce fruit, and the tree and the fruit are equal. It's pity. That means if you eat the bark tastes like the apple tastes like the bark. There's going to be no waste in the tree. All the tree is going to be fruitful. It's pity. It's pity. That's the way God commanded at least the tree or the ground to produce. The ground, however, did not listen. We might have talked about this earlier during the year. We gave derash on this. Hazak. The ground instead produces trees. Etz osepiri. Instead of etz piri, it's osepiri. There's bark and then there's fruit. That explains when after Adam Marishon himself eats from the tree. So I understand God curses Adam. And Chava, of course. Ishtoki gufo. And then you have God curses the snake. He deserves to be cursed. He was the Shadchan. Not that you should curse the Shadchan. In this case, he was the matchmaker of sin. And then all of a sudden, God curses the ground. Arurah Adama. What do you want from the Adama? What did the Adama do? The kotz v'dardar tatzmiach. And the ground will produce thorns and thistles and... What did the ground do? How is the ground part of the sin? So Rashi brings down from the Hazal that once already God was taking stock of all the sinners. So he said, you know what? I'm settling all bills today. I'm settling all accounts. The ground is guilty for not listening. And therefore, since the ground didn't listen, when I told it, it's peri, so arura adama. So the ground is arura. The ground is cursed. There is a curse in the ground. Now, side point. The Apta Rav, the Ohev Yisrael, says, why didn't the ground listen? It says the ground was l'shem shamayim. Because the ground knew that Adam Rishon is going to sin. So now, at least Adam Rishon can minimize his punishment by telling God, what do you want from me? I'm created from the afar of the Adama. I'm created from a rebellious ingredient. So therefore, the ground was an accomplice. The ground made me do it. You created me from, compromised material. By the ground being disobedient, that gives Adam Rishon the pass. Not that it exonerates him, but it takes the edge off a little. Nonetheless, Adam Rishon gets punished. The ground gets punished, and the ground has tum'ah. And therefore, he writes that when a farmer in Eretz Yisrael comes to plant trees, and the fruits come out, there's still tum'ah in the ground, and it takes 3 years to extract all that tum'ah from arura ha'adama. And by the third year already, the fruits are purged, from Tum'ah, and now you can start eating him in year 4. All this is because of the curse of Arura Adama that started from Adam Rishon, when he ate from the tree. He goes on to say, why 3 years? Why does it take 3 years and not 5 years, and not 10 years? So he goes on to say, there's a law in Baba Batra, those that learned Hazkat HaBatim. It takes 3 years to make a Hazakah. After 3 years, you own it. Which means if a person goes into somebody's property, and he lives there for 3 years, and nobody protested, you know, nobody says, it's my property, get out of here, what are you doing here? 3 years, he's there, he's settled, and all of a sudden, after 3 years, somebody comes along and says, it's my property. I get lost, I was here for 3 years already, you didn't open your mouth. 3 years makes a hazakah. 3 years makes ownership. And therefore, after 3 years, the ground goes from the sitra, the misaaba, the area of tumah, and it moves into the sitra, the kedusha. It takes 3 years to make a hazakah on the tree in order to establish new ownership. To take it out of the ownership of the sitra hara and to bring it into the ownership of sitra, the kedusha, the side of the kedusha. Oh, so the concept of Orla has to do with Adam Rishon. The concept has to do with Adam Rishon. In order to understand this on a deeper level, we begin with what Rabbeinu Bahya writes in Parashat Yitro. We've talked about this a little in the past. Now we're going to go a little backwards, and we're going to go a little forwards. We always have to keep on pushing forwards in the Dirash. He's talking about over here something that we do every night of the week, but we do not do it on Friday night. And that is the recitation of the Pasuk, Mehu Rahu Michapir Avon, Velo Yashid, Verba Lashib Apo, Velo Ya'ir Kul Hamato. Every night in Arbit, after it gets dark, that's the way we start the evening service, with the Pasuk Vehu Rahu Michapir Avon. Whereas on Friday night, there is no mention of it. We start right away with the Kaddish and right to Barichu. We skip that line. So Rabbeinu Bahya is trying to understand, it seems it was an age-old custom. Rabbeinu Bahya is 1,000 years ago. From then already the custom was, there's no Vehu Rahu on Friday night. Want to know why? So he comes along and says, "Umitaram ze en anu omrim ba'arbit shel Shabbat ve'urachum." The pede sheshelosha malachim. There are three angels. These are actually called angels of Habala. These are destructive angels. Malachim Habala. These are you want to call them shedim, demons, kedipot. Whatever word is to define them, but they're destructive. Vehem, mashchit, af, vehema. One of them is called mashchit, one of them is called af, and one of them is called hema. Shehem mimunim al reshaim. They administer the punishments of Gehinnam. Biyisure Gehinnam. However, in them reshut b'Shabbat, on Shabbat Gehinnam is closed. So, therefore, in order to allude to that cessation of Gehinnam, we don't mention the three Malachi Habala, Shabbat v'Yinavash. Even the Rishaim in Gehinnam, the Shomer Shabbat, Gehinnam closes for 24 hours or whatever it may be, 25 hours. So, therefore, these three Malachi Habala, they also have a day off. So we allude to that by skipping the Vehu Rahu Michapir Avon, because in the Vehu Rahu he mentioned all three. Vehu Rahu Michapir Avon Velo Yashchit. That's connected Mashchit. Velo Ya'ir Velo Yashchit Verbal Lashib Apo. Apo is Af. Velo Ya'ir Kol Hamato. Hamato is his mother-in-law. Okay, so this is a source over here. Oh, that's where they get it from. Okay, I don't think there's a connection between the Malach Habala and the mother-in-law Rabotai. I didn't hear, I don't have a tradition from my rabbis that there's any connection. although it seems to be related to a certain degree, but I need to go back to the tzaddikim to see if there's any relationship. Nonetheless, אין להם רשות בשבת, וכתה לקבוע בלב. In order to establish שהרשעים יש להם מנוחה בשבת. Then everybody should know that. רשעים rest on שבת. ואין אותם ממונים שולטים עליהם בשבת, ושלושתם רשומים בפסוק ורחום. So therefore, we don't mention it. Whereas on the rest of the nights of the week, these are mentioned. Now, in previous shiurim, we have discussed the influence of these three malachi habala. According to some sefarim, they say there's four malachi habala. The fourth one they call Avon. That's why it says Vehu Rahom Yechaper Avon. Avon is one of them. Sometimes they don't count Avon, because they say Avon is what brings the malachi habala. So Avon is the cause. So Vehurahom Yechaper Avon. God should forgive us of the sin. Once He forgives us of the sin, then Velo Yashchid, Verbal Hashem Apor, Velo Yashchid. Then the three will disappear. So those are basically the shadim that we're talking about. Now they come up in many, many different areas. These shadim, these three shadim, and we constantly are trying to suppress them and push them down. For example, I have over here Sefer Megaleh Amukot in Parashat Devarim. He comes along and he says that there's a tradition that we have till today. At the end of a meal, we're supposed to wash the tips of our fingers. And they tell you, you're supposed to have in mind that this waters are tameh waters. And we say, Zeh Helek Adam Rasha. This belongs to the Sitra Hara, these waters. Very interesting if you see the way people have an understanding of this. Even though they don't know the depth, everybody knows my Maharim waters, get it off the table. If Chas V'Shalom, you know, it falls on the table, clean it up, move it away, there's too much in this water. Whereas Nitilat Yadayim, waters, and before you eat bread, they're not tameh. We don't have a heebie-jeebie against it. But my maharim waters, that's why we use very, very little, just at the fingertips, and we wash our knuckles with it, and then we move it away. And they say that he writes that when you make the my maharim, it pushes away the kilipot. It seems that when a person eats, it arouses the judgments. In Shamayim, the kiliput come along and say, what are these people eating? They have all these averot, they're sitting down to a meal like this. They should be fasting, they should be, you know, punishing their bodies, and they sit down and enjoy. So we need to get the sitra hara away from us. So he writes, and I quote, Gimal gulayrin bishin, three armies of bed. Shibau misitra hara. And they are, of course, mashrit af in hema. So he says, that's why when you wash your hands, you must say three words. Maim, aharonim, chova. That is rashi tevot. The mem is neged mashrit. And aharonim is keneged af. And chova is keneged hema. So when you're making my maharim, it's as if you're saying, but we don't want to say that whole pasuk. So instead they pick three words that would miramez to the subject. Mem, alef, het. My maharim, choba, and then the three kilipot are able to dissipate. I have over here Sefer Likutei Shoshanim. Likutei Shoshanim is from Rav Shimshon Mastropoli. He also, he was a student of the Megale Amukot. These are all the tzaddikim of Krakow. He was a student of the Megale Amukot. And he also obviously had a tradition on these kiliput that we're talking about over here. And he comes along and he says a big chiddush as well. he writes, Amalek is coming to attack the Jewish people. Amalek comes to attack, so Moshe Rabbeinu needs to, you know, suppress them. And they're coming with all the kilipot, obviously. So it says Moshe Rabbeinu goes on top of a mountain. But he doesn't go alone, which is very strange. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't need any help, usually. All of a sudden over here he goes, Berosh HaGiv'ah, and who does he have on one side of him? One side he has Aharon, and the other side he has Hur. Three tzaddikim, and they're holding his hands up, and he's making kavanot on top of the mountain. Why does he need Aharon and Hur? Says of Shimshon Mastropoli, he writes, Veda, Shu gamken, Moshe Rabbeinu sha'ala Rosh HaGiv'ah. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went up to the mountain, is in order, Shaya Achiza v'gimel kilipot. There was an Achiza in Amalek had in Mashchit Af and Chema. And therefore when Moshe Rabbeinu stands up, he's Mem, that's connected Mashchit. And Hur is on the other side, he's Chema. And Aharon is on the other side, Af. Maim, Aharonim, Chova. You have the three of them on the mountain. So therefore he picked specific Sadiqim that he knew were able to do the job. Why couldn't he do it himself? This I heard from Rabbi Friedman when he was in the shul a few weeks ago. He said, beautiful Hiddush, in Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu is reviewing the events that took place in the Midbar, after the Jewish people worshipped the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ki yagorti mipenei ha'af ve'achema. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I was afraid of Af and Chema. Which means Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm able to take care of what I'm able to take care of. I can suppress Mashchit. But ki yagorti mipnei ha'af ve'achema, I don't have the ability. That's why he needed to enlist Aharon and Hur in order to mechazek the inyan. So these kilipot, you'll find it in a lot of places. Another place that we said it's brought down. Another place that we said it's brought down. Yitro obviously is coming from the archdiocese. He's from the Vatican. So he has all the tumah with him when he's coming to join Klal Yisrael. Vayishma Moshe, Vayishma Yitro, Hoten Moshe, Kohen Mijahol. It tells us clearly what he was. But he joined our side. And when he came, I mean, the Shimshon Masropoli clearly writes, She Yitro Ayan Nidbak, Vayalo Achizak Sat Beotan Gimel Kilipot. He was connected to them. All of a sudden Yitro comes and he needs to make a tikkun because he knows he's connected to them. All of a sudden he comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, Hakam Moshe, you need to establish a court system. Okay? A court system, you can't do it alone. You're going to burn out. Okay? So what do you advise? Well, I advise that you need to make a series of judges. Management, middle management, etc. And you need to set it up like this. For every 1,000 people, get a judge. For every 100 people, you get a judge. For every 50 people, you get a judge. And for every 10 people, you get a judge. This idea came from Yitro, oddly enough. The court system, of course, God then confirmed it. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't do it because Yitro told him. If your father-in-law tells you to do something, you only listen if God confirms it. God confirmed it and said, yeah, listen to him. Is he right? He's right, no problem. But it had to come from Yitro. This idea had to come through Yitro. Why? Because Yitro had an achiza in the kilipot, and therefore he needed to make a tikkun. So what does he say? For every 10 people, or for every 1,000 people, you get a judge. Those 1,000 people are called what? Sare alafim. Alafim is aleph. That's keneged af. For every 100 people, sare meot. That's mem, keneged mashchit. Sare hamishim. That's the 50s. That's Keneged Hema. And Sari Asarot is Keneged Avon. So therefore you have over here in the system of judges that Yitro appointed. And he writes that. Hakam Masropoli, he writes over here, ולכן אמר יתרו ושמת עליהם שרי אלפים, שרי מאות, שרי חמישים, ראשי תיבות מם א' ח' עין של עשרות, עוון. But when he came with the kilipot, it says. He came with them, he had to nullify them through this system of courts. I saw today in a sefer, the sefer is called Nachal Yaakov. He writes, "Ki yesh dalet kedipot emashrit af chema avon." Ushaya Bet Hamikdash Kayam. When the Bet Hamikdash was around, the korbanot would nullify them. The korbanot would nullify these kedipot. How do we know that the korbanot nullified? In the prayers we say every morning. In the Sidur, the Pasuk. Bene'emar, Zot HaTorah. This is the Torah of the Korbanot. La'ola, for the Korban Ola, la'mencha, ve'la'hatat, ve'la'asham. Says the Sefer, what is the secret of these four Korbanot? Ola is Ayin, Keneged Avon. Mencha is Mashchit. Hatat, Hema, Asham, Apo. Therefore, when there was Korbanot, you had the sword of the Qurban to bring the... And then he says, and the leader of all of these is called Shed, and that's the sword of Qurban Shilamim, which is not written in the Pasuk. Then he goes on to say, Ve'ata, today we don't have Qurbanot. So what are we supposed to do? So there's two ways. Either you read the Qurbanot, and it's considered like we learned last week, as if you brought the Qurbanot. Oh, he says, O al yedei shekore kiryat shema. Kiryat shema has the power to mevatel. How? If you look in your sidurim, when we say Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, you'll notice something incredible. The sheen of Shema is double font. The dalid of Echad is also double font. That spells shed. The letters that are not double font in Shema are Mem and Ayin. And the letters that are not double font in Echad is Aleph and Chet. The shed of Ma and Ah. The Ma is Mashchit and Avon. And in the Echad, it's the Af and the Chema. So therefore, by having Kavanah in the Shema, he writes it. He says, Ve'ata yedeh shekore kriyat Shema, מכניע ומבטא לקליפות ולסקרים, וזה שמע אחד, אותיות שד אחמא. And then he says, that's why when Yitro came, he had this קליפות with him, the pasuk says, וישמע יתרו כהן מדיין חותן משה את. He says, וישמע יתרו כהן, the last letter of וישמע is a ayin. The last letter of יתרו is a vav. And the last letter of Kohen is a Nun. Sofet Tevot Avon. Choten Moshe Et Chema Mashchit Af. So therefore when he came, he had all the... So he knew he had to do a tikkun. So what does he do? He tells them, listen, you got to... you got to make judges. So again, this concept is not a new concept. We find it in many places. I found it somewhere else. Again, I'm just giving you alternate sources. Here, I have a sefer called Vayikra Yaakov, Parashat Pinehas. He says that when Zimri made the Avon of Cosby, Batsur, he went with the Goya, that's Avon. As a result, it aroused the three Mashchitim, Mashchit, Af, and Chema. And who saved the day? Pinehas. When Pinehas was going to kill Zimri, if it was only Zimri, it would have been easy. But he had to take a sword, he was killing all these Mazikim, all these Malachi Habala. So he writes, Pinehas ben Elazar, ben Aharon HaKohen, Heshiv, he returned, he got rid of. What did he get rid of? Et Hamati Me'al. Et is Aleph, Hamati is Het, Me'al is Mem. Mayim Aharonim Oma, Keneged, the three Mashritim that were there. So you see, when you start looking at the Torah in a deeper way, you'll find this in many, many, many places. Megale Amukot Parashat Vayishlach. I don't have the copy. My printer ran out of ink. All these copies over here of all these things. But he says, I have the hard copy in the synagogue. When Adam HaRishon ate from the tree, so that already, as we learned, it created a tremendous tum'ah. The ground got cursed because it didn't listen, but Adam HaRishon didn't listen either. And he ate from that tree, and now he has the tum'ah of that tree inside of him. The tum'ah of the trees that did not listen. And he writes that as a result of him eating the tree, he brought the death penalty. The death penalty is a direct result of eating from the tree, as we know. He quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, I think it's chapter 115 or 116. David HaMelech is talking about that moment that Adam HaRishon was being punished. Or actually, we say it in the Hallel. Come to think of it, we say it in the Hallel. Hazak Baruch. Here's Rosh Chodesh. I just like to read it inside. Otiyot Machkimot. In the Hallel that we say on Rosh Chodesh. So we say over here like this. Hafti ki yishma Adonai et kulit tahanunai. Ki yitaz do di yubi ma'ikra. And all of a sudden, afafuni hamle mavet. David HaMelech reminds us of that moment that the Hible Mavet, that the pangs of death engulfed me. Afafuni Hible Mavet, they surrounded me. This is referring to, says the Megillah Amukot, when Adam and Rishon ate from the tree. He says when he ate from the tree, he aroused the three Mashritim. And therefore he says, Afafuni is Aleph, and Hible is Chet. And Mavet is Mem, the same Mayim Aharonim Choma, Afafuni Hamne Mavet. That the death penalty was a result of these Kedipot being manifest, and therefore they are resulting in the death. Oh, Afafuni Hamne Mavet. When Adam HaRishon ate from the tree, there's a phenomenal midrash. The Midrash tells us the schedule. What happened on that day? It was created on a Friday. Tomorrow's the anniversary. But when Adam HaRishon was created on day 6, amazing, amazing schedule. Mishat Shi'it in the 9th hour, Nitztava. He was commanded. He got the orders in the 9th hour. That's the tree of Tovera. You can eat from all the trees. The tree of Tovera is off limits. B'shara Asiri Hata. The 10th hour he ate. B'shara Yud Aleph, in the 11th hour, he was judged. That was a critical hour. That's why even till today, in Badiguim, they say they're in the 11th hour. The 11th hour is the critical hour of judgment. That's when everything hangs in the balance. They say they're in the 11th hour of negotiations. They don't know why they're saying it, but now we know. B'sha'a yud alef nidon. B'sha'a yud bet gorash. The 12th hour, which means the 12th hour is sunset. Friday night at sunset, 6 o'clock. So he spent Shabbat outside of Gan Eden, on the other side of the gate. The holy books come along and say, Adam HaRishon, from when he was commanded until Shabbat was 3 hours. 10, 11, and 12. All he had to wait was 3 hours. And the holy books say, if he would have waited for 3 hours, the tikkun would have been made, he would have been able to eat from the tree, he only had to wait 3 hours. But the yetzer hara was so strong, and somebody comes to me and says, I have claims against Adam HaRishon. I said, but you were there, why did you eat? I wasn't there. And then the Zohar HaKadosh says Adam HaRishon was a composite of 600,000 neshamot. So your neshama was there. You're such a big shot. How come you didn't tell Adam HaRishon not to eat when he was eating? If he ate, must be the neshamot that were with him told him, eat. So we all fell in this sin. So we're all guilty. But the whole sin was 3 hours. And the Mefarshim write on the Pasuk, Shomer Mitzvah Lo Yeda Davar Ra. Shomer Mitzvah means not only one who keeps the Mitzvah, Shomer is somebody that waits for the Mitzvah. Mitzvot have their moment. You have to wait. Ve'aviv shamar et ha-davar. Shamar means to wait, to be patient. Adam HaRishon had a mitzvah. The mitzvah was to eat from the tree eventually. The problem is he ate it when it was still unripened. But if he would have been shomer mitzvah, if he would have waited for the mitzvah, waited till Shabbat, lo yeda davar ra. Which the Etz HaDaat was called Tovera. That was only during the week. But once Shabbat came, the tree goes from being Ra to Tov. Only problem is he didn't wait. Shomer Mitzvah, if he would have waited for the Mitzvah, Lo Yeda Davar Ra, the Ra of the Etz HaDaat would have went away. But he wasn't Shomer Mitzvah. The main sin is that he drank the wine, they say it was grapes. He drank the wine 3 hours early on Friday afternoon. If he would have waited for Kiddush on Friday night to make the Kiddush on the Yayin, oh, there would have been a Tikkun Gadol Ba'olam, but it didn't work out that way. We can't change it. We can't go backwards, Rabotai. We have to go forwards. Phenomenal Or HaChaim HaKadosh in the Parasha. Phenomenal Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Or HaChaim HaKadosh comes along and says, Yishtabach Shemo, this Or HaChaim HaKadosh. In the laws of Orla, right after the laws of Orla, the Pasuk says, Lo Tuchlu Al Adam. Lo Tuchlu Al Adam. What is this talking about? What is the law of Dam? Don't eat the blood. What do the bloods have to do with the Orla? I mean, you put the bloods next to the tree? Not appetizing. Here we're talking about Etz Peri, and then you go into Dam, you should separate it with something else. Why do you put the... That's the Orahim's question. So he writes, I quote, Or HaChaim HaKadosh, where are you? Abotai, he's here, he's right over here, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Lo tuchlu al adam. It's on that pasuk. It's Yud Tet Chavav. Samach HaKatuv Mitzvah Zu LeMitzvat Orla. There's a connection between don't eat the blood and Orla. Lirmoz ma she'amru zal, what the rabbis told us. Ki Adam HaRishon Chata ba'achilat Etz HaDa'at. He sinned when he ate from the Etz HaDa'at. Kodem zman hetero. He ate it early before it was permissible. Shum bechinat Orla. She'im hayam mamtin ad lel Shabbat Kodesh, if he would have waited to Friday night, hayam mekadesh al hayayin, he would have taken that wine and made kiddush. Which means the tree was called Orla, not for 3 years. Adam's tree was only Orla for 3 hours. That was the original Orla. It was a 3 hour tikkun. But he ate the tree when it was Orla. He ate it in the first 3 hours. So he comes along and he says, The Gemara says something that most people struggle to understand what it means. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin 38b. Adam HaRishon Moshech Be'orlato Haya. Adam HaRishon was Moshech Be'orlato. If I have to explain it simply, Adam HaRishon, he was embarrassed of his Brit Milah. Moshech Orla means he drew the Orla back to its position. Well, why would he do that? Adam HaRishon was born Mahul. Why would he be Moshech Orlato? Says the Orah Haim HaKadosh, no. Moshech Orlato, he was drawn after the Orla of the tree. That tree was Orla. It was banned fruit. It was contraband. But Adam HaRishon, because the Yetzer was very strong, Moshech Be'orlato, he got drawn after Orlato of the tree. Ve'u ma she'amar ha'katuv samuch, va'alaltem Orlato lo tochelu, after the Torah tells us don't eat from the tree 3 years. Then it comes along and says, lo tochlu, perush me'peri Orla. When it says lo tochlu, it means don't eat from the tree of Orla, al hadam, pirush al sibat hadam, ki zu sibat lechot shifichat damim. That's where the death came from. All blood that is spilled came from the Orla. Lo tochlu, don't eat this Orla, because Adam Rishon ate the Orla, and as a result it brought dam into the world. And it aroused Afafuni Hevle Mavet. It aroused the three Kilipot. And as a result, the death penalty came. Dam Adam v'dam Zirotav. Not only the blood of Adam, but all of the descendants. V'yesh lecha ladat. He says something incredible. Ki sibata orlot. Anytime you see in the Torah, the concept of Allah, whether it's on the flesh or it's in the tree, shezulat het Adam, if it wasn't for the sin of Adam Rishon, lo haita orla ba'olam. Not in the trees, lo betsomeach velo shel ba'ale chayim. Oh, there's a rabbi called Rav Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger, he's many sefarim he wrote. He writes in one of the sefarim, Chochmat Shlomo, or Chaim Siman Neshachin Aleph. He has Hadushim on the laws of Kiddush. So the Rav says it's a custom. We have this custom. On Friday night when we come home to make the Kiddush, the minhag is that before we make the Kiddush, we look at the candles. There's a nyan to look at the Nerot before the actual Kiddush. I remember once we were in Morocco for Shabbat by Rabbi Yitzhak Abu Hasera and Zechrono Zecher Sadiq Mekadosh Lebracha and the Atlas Mountains. And we're having Shabbat when there was a big Sadiq with us. Rav Malka. Big, big Sadiq, Hasidah Kadisha. And they gave him to make the Kiddush. And, you know, everybody's sitting around the table. There's men on one side, there's ladies on the other side. And you know, everybody has a big Sadiq, and he picks up the Kiddush. And of course, he looks into the Kiddush to see his reflection, like the custom says. The Arizal says you're supposed to look at your forehead. You have Kavanot, Gemetzach, Gematria, Hatzlacha. And then he looks up, and he's going like this. So there was a lady right over there, so she doesn't know. She was dressed modestly. And the Rav is going, she doesn't know what he wants. I also don't know what he wants. If I knew what he wants, I would have done. Turns out she was blocking the candles. So he wants to look at the Nerot right before the Kiddush starts. So finally, and he doesn't talk. So finally we figured it out. Move to the side. She moved to the side. Now he has a direct view of the candles. He looked, I don't know what Kavanot he had. He stared a little while. And then he went back to the Kiddush. Rav Shlomo Kluger says, I'll tell you the Kavanot. He says, Because every Friday night, the purpose of the Kiddush is to mitaken het Adam HaRishon. We come along and we say that Adam HaRishon didn't wait till Friday night to drink the wine. So we come along on Friday night and we take the course and we wait till after sunset, we wait till Shabbat. Till Shabbat starts. But the Gemara says that the lady also has certain tikkuns to make. Because Ahava was definitely an accomplice to the sin. I don't want the ladies to think that they're not included in this avon. Hava actually was, the catalyst. It started with Hava, with all due respect. So the ladies need a tikkun on Friday afternoon as well. That's why they come along and they say the ladies have to make challah on Friday. What's the secret of a lady baking challah on Friday? The Gemara says in Shabbat, Hava destroyed halato shel olam. She destroyed the halah of the world. Let her go now. Make a tikkun on halato shel olam. What does that mean? It means is like this. Adam HaRishon was the first chali ever made. He was a chali. Why? God took dirt. That's like the flour. God took water. That's like the water. And he mixed it and he made a dough. That's called gibul. And then he made from this dough a shape. Not braids. But he made an Adam. But he was a form of a halah. And when Hava came along and caused Adam to sin, she destroyed halato shel olam. This is the chali that God made. So therefore every Friday they tell the lady, go reenact the sin. Go take flour, go take water, make a challah, and instead of doing something wrong with it, do something right with it. Tafrish challah with a beracha, tafrish challah teruma, and now you make a tikkun for what you did to halato shel olam. And then the Gemara says, Adam HaRishon, when he was born, his radiance was misofa olam ba'ad sofo. Adam HaRishon was glowing. Adam HaRishon was all neshama. When Hava seduced him to eat from the tree, the Gemara says, he kafta oro shel olam. She extinguished the light of the earth. Adam HaRishon went dark after he ate from the tree, and Hava was the impetus. So the Gemara says, therefore every Erev Shabbat, the lady must light Nerot. The Nerot is in order to mitaken the extinguishing of the light of Adam. So everything we do on Friday and on Shabbat is to make this tikkun. You're going to ask me again, why do I have to make the tikkun? Because you were there. Because we were part of it. Says Rosh Shlomo Kluger. He says when the Adam on Friday night picks up the Kiddush, before he picks up the Kiddush, he has to look at the Nerot. Because he ate early, he extinguished the light as well. He's guilty. So therefore, we pick up the Yayin on the time of Shabbat and look at the Nerot to say we are drinking this wine in order to activate Nerot Shel Olam. So all this is part of the ultimate tikkun. Comes out according to this, Rabotai. Comes out according to this. Orla of the Torah is a tikkun of the Chet of Adam HaRishon. And since the Chet of Adam HaRishon was a 3-hour sin, and in those 3 hours he brought death to the world, and for every hour another Kilipa was created. And therefore at that moment, after he could not wait, Afafuni Hible Mavet, the 3 Kilipot now came into the world that bring death. That's what the Megillah Amukot says. Afafuni Hible Mavet, Aleph Chet Mem, Af Mashchit Chema, Af Chema Mashchit, Afafuni Hible Mavet. And as a result, Anytime somebody subsequently comes to plant a tree, in the ground is the three kilipot, and therefore it takes 3 years in order to extract that tum'ah of the mavet, of the death, that's in that ground, from Adam Rishon. Oh, who believes such things? Who believes such things that the Orla is connected Adam Rishon, and then after the 3 years are up, the Hazakah is over, like the Panim Meirot said, the 3 years are over, you made Hazakah, you've now taken it back. You've made a acquisition on the tree from the three Kelipot, Mashrit, Afin, Hema. Now the fourth year is Kodesh. That's already like Shabbat. Now the fourth year, it's Friday night, the fourth year. And therefore, these fruits you have to take to Yerushalayim, and you have to eat it within the walls. Why? Because where was Adam HaRishon created? Adam HaRishon was created within the walls of Jerusalem. He was actually created from the dirt on the Temple Mount. Therefore, you have to go back. When a person wants to make a tikkun on the Havon, you have to go back to the spot. Otomakom. And you take these fruit back and you say, God Almighty, I waited 4 years, I waited 3 years. And now these are Kodesh, like Shabbat Kodesh. Kodesh in Lulim, it's like Shabbat Kodesh. And then once you make the tikkun, then in the 50th year, good, you're free. Once you make the tikkun, now you can eat them. All the fruits subsequently now have been fixed. According to this, our original question, the drash, drash Rabbi Yehuda, מי יגלה אפר מעיניך אדם ראשון שלא יכולת לעמוד על סיבוייך שעה אחת? He wasn't coming to knock Adam HaRishon. He can't knock Adam HaRishon. Rabbi Yehuda ben Pasi was also there. But he's coming along to say, Adam HaRishon, mi yigale afar me'enecha, if you're only alive to see what we're doing, we're fixing you, we're making your tikkun Adam, we love you. Because you couldn't wait, we took it upon ourselves because we were part of it, to make the ultimate tikkun, and therefore, Harebanecha, your children, Mamtinim Le'ora Gimel Shanim. We're helping you, Adam HaRishon. We are waiting 3 years in order to fix the 3 hours. It comes out that when you follow the laws of Orla, this is it removes the death penalty of Adam HaRishon. Such a great mitzvah this is. When Bar Kappara heard this, he said, Yafe darash Rabbi Yehuda ben Ahoti. He said, this is a deep terash. This is not a small item here. He's giving you the secrets of the world. He connected this to Adam. He said, wow, he said, who thought of that? This is a good terash. Rabotai, once again, you see over here something incredible. The depth of our Torah. How many years we're reading this Perashav Orla? First, we know it from kindergarten. First 3 years, and then the fourth year. Who knew how pivotal this mitzvah is? This mitzvah of Orla, as a matter of fact, the Pasuk says, that's the first mitzvah that they tell us when we come into the land of Israel. The Pasuk writes, V'chi tavo el ares. Immediately when you come into the land, untatem, plant trees. Wow, that's the first thing you do. Build a midrash, go buy books. Go pray mincha. No. Ki tavoy la'ares, untartem kol esmaka. Because that's the ultimate tikkun. When you come back to the Holy Land, to the spot where Adam HaRishon was created, go back to the original tree, and plant it again, and let the tum'ah get extracted for 3 years, and then in the fourth year, it's Kodesh Elulim, and you're repeating everything deja vu all over again. And the Rahim HaKadosh is correct when he says, Lo tochelu, don't eat the tree, al hadam, because that brought dam to the world. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi says, Mi yigale afar me'enecha adam harishon. Because you couldn't wait, we're doing the waiting for you. We are the Shomer Mitzvah. And Shomer Mitzvah lo yeda davar ra. We are making the extraction. And that's definitely what impressed bar kapara. Again, I say the lesson is what we say every day in the prayer that we make before we learn. Gal einai ve'abita nifleot mitoratecha. We pray to God, open our eyes, borei olam, and reveal to us the secrets of our Torah. Somebody will come after the shiur tonight, say, what did the rabbi talk about? Parashat HaShavua. Hey, he didn't talk about Pirkei Avot? No. He spoke. Don't get it. He spoke about it during the day. But tonight he wanted to speak about something else. Which, did he speak about Aharemot or Kedoshim? No, he spoke about Parashat Bereshit. Parashat Bereshit? Does he know they were in Parashat Kedoshim? Well, he told us that Parashat Kedoshim is directly linked to Bereshit. Well, which part of Bereshit? Adam Rishon, Shema Yisrael. Who would have ever made the wires like that? Who would have ever made the connection, connect the dots? And whatever we say, we're just scratching the surface. This is just, we're dabbling with the Kiddushah. We have no clue of the depths of these subjects. This is just what we say, with no pun intended. The laws of Allah is food for thought. This is just to arouse our curiosity, to show us the Mayim Amukim, the unlimited depths of the Torah. Mayim She'en Lahem Sof. Waters that have no end. And as we pray before we come into the Hag of Shavuot, Be'ezat Hashem, I hope if God gives us the Zechut, Shenizkeh, hope to be by the Tziyun of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai on next week, on the Lag. Lag is Otiyot Gal. And over there we say by the tomb of Rabbi Shimon, Gal Einai Mitoratecha. On the day of Lag, that's a segula of the Gilui of the Sodot. So I'll represent the Kahal. You know, we spend a lot of time here on Thursday nights over the course of the year trying to reveal the secrets of the Torah. It comes from Rabbi Shimon, it comes from over there. So we have to pay a visit in order to recharge the Hiddushim. So I'll represent everybody. And then Be'ezat Hashem, I hope to come back. So next week I'll be over there. I represent the entire Shi'ur, of course. And then Be'ezat Hashem will come back and we'll have, I guess, Shi'ur. Oh. The following week, one of our members is getting married. So we'll have a wedding. So I guess the last Shi'ur before Shavuot, it must be after Shavuot then. So then it'll be after Shavuot. Next week is as before Lag. The week after is before Shavuot, and then as I have a wedding, that's Erev Shavuot. So then we have the week after is Shavuot. Wow! So I'll see you in September, Rabotai. B'li neder, we'll figure it out. But again, the next two Thursdays, I'm out. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen. Rabbi Hananya.